All right, Ira, why do you like Bill Curry Ford?
Service, service, service. I'm about to experience it again because I'm due for an oil change. And the best news of all is I love the showroom. You're in the showroom. Big Storm's got the cubicle in there. You can get the Cuban, whatever you want, and talk to Sean Sullivan about Buck football. The guy's one of the great Buck fans in the Tampa Bay area. Bleeds Buccaneer. And I urge all our listeners with Ford vehicles, and it doesn't even have to be a Ford vehicle. Just bring it in, and they'll take care of it and give you an honest appraisal and get the job done. And I'm coming in this week, Sean, so you have been forewarned.
And for those unaware, Ira, you drive a 2020 cherry red Ford Escape, lap of luxury. I've seen it myself from Bill Curry Ford, 1 mile north of Raymond James Stadium on the east side. That's where that showroom is, but you can get there immediately by shopping at BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. Remember, their nationwide lifetime warranty on new and pre-owned vehicles. General Manager Sean Sullivan is ready to help you by phone, email, text, whatever it might be, BillCurryFord.com.
We got plenty to talk about.
The Ira Kaufman podcast is on, and that means the star of the show is here, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Lee DeKemper of JoeBucksFan.com is here. This is episode 2 of This Week, and all the fun is presented by Tampa's first family of Ford, Bill Curry Ford. Get to BillCurryFord.com to start shopping immediately. Ira, how are you? It's a weird week, man. We don't know if there's even going to be a game on Sunday.
You know, I've been thinking about that, Steve. There better be a game because I'm going to hit that Big Storm menu very, very hard. I might order 2 entrees, Steven.
Whoa.
If there's no game, you know, I might be home with a tuna fish sandwich. So I'm rooting for a game. We're going to make our picks later. Talked to Chucky on a conference call yesterday, and he sounded like a very worried man. COVID in full force over there in Vegas. So I'm excited about this game, this opportunity. And Lee, it's all about whether the Bucks can continue the momentum that they built from the final three quarters of doing a job on Aaron Rodgers. And Lee, I've been hammering Aaron Rodgers all week long, calling him one sad sack leader and a guy who doesn't win when things are going rough. And you know what? I'm starting to think the same way about Derek Carr. We shall see. Carr's off to a heck of a start. But Lee, so was Aaron Rodgers.
I have to apologize before I say this, Ira, because I don't mean to insult you. But and I'm a big Derek Carr guy as far as a human being. When he was at the combine a few years ago, I was just absolutely impressed with the guy. And I just thought to myself, whatever this guy does outside of football, he's going to be an absolute success. But to use Derek Carr's name in the same sentence as Rodgers, ridiculous. I'm sorry.
You know what you sound like, DeKemper? You sound like
Russo.
No, there was a guy named Lloyd Benson. There was a vice presidential debate. And he told the guy, I knew John Kennedy. You're no John Kennedy. Yeah, that's what
well,
you sound
I don't,
like.
I don't know Carr, but I'm not Lloyd Benson either, although I liked his attire. Here, I'll say this about Rodgers, and obviously we're not rehashing the backers again. There's a loyal JoeBucksFan.com reader, a guy with the handle of Jay Votto, and he Twittered JoeBucksFan just before we started recording this podcast. And he said, you know, Rodgers was whining about Tampa before the game even started, and then, you know, he goes down real quick and he just quit. And I forgot all about how Rodgers was whining in the days leading up to the game about the turf. He's hung up about the turf at Raymond James.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yep.
And I forgot all about that. And Jay Votto, whoever he is absolutely dead on. It was in his head. He didn't want to play. He did not want to play. And then once the Bucks had the pick six on him, he just threw in the towel. He did his Rick Rude pose in the end zone, and that was that. He was done.
Yeah. He turned tail, Steve. And, you know, I think DeKemper makes a great point in general about sports. Steve, you've seen it over the years. When somebody starts complaining, like, about the schedule, oh, geez, you know, we only got 4 days to prepare or whatever, they're half beaten. Now, it's not 100%, you know, that they're going to lose, but it's a real bad sign, Steve. It's like a distraction. All of a sudden, Rodgers is thinking about the turf. You know what he should have been thinking about? Jason Pierre-Paul. That's what he should have been thinking about. On to the Raiders. On to the Raiders, Steve.
I'm still a little confused, though, because if you really think that Rodgers sort of quit, rolled over, whatever adjective, verbs you want to use, that the guy sort of mailed it in down 14-10, then that significantly takes away from the performance of the Buccaneers defense. So, and I don't really want to do that, so I'm not going to go there. How about that?
Well, I think both can be true, Steve. And you're right. I don't want to take anything away because that's about as perfect the three quarters as a team can play. I mean, it really is, considering you're playing one of the better teams in the league. Now, I thought the Packers were a little bit overrated going into the game. Yeah, they were 4-0, but to call them the Super Bowl favorite, I didn't necessarily see that because I didn't think their defense is that good, and it's not. That's proven. But you're right, Steve. You don't want to take anything away from Levante David, JPP, Jamel Dean, Carlton Davis, and company, and Devin White, who bounced back from a couple of performances where even he admitted people were saying, hey, is Devin White even on the field? I mean, that's a great line from Devin White.
It was.
Yes, he was on the field, Steve, and he was making plays all over that field.
Ira, let me point to something Bill Polian said, and then we'll get off this Packers topic. And, of course, Devin White, you did a column on him. It's on joebucksfan.com. You had a bit of an exclusive chat with him and Derek Brooks. And White is featured on two episodes this week of Tampa 2 from the Identity Tampa Bay and Joe Bucks Fan. You can watch that at our website, joebucksfan.com. Ira, this is just food for thought to file in the back of your head. Bill Polian last night on Sirius XM NFL Radio, talking to Bruce Arians, he was very shocked that the Packers, he said, they didn't run any hot routes. They basically did nothing to counter the blitz, and that they seemed helpless. And Polian said he had no explanation for the Packers' lack of adjustments and play calling. And, of course, he asked Arians about it, who he wasn't about to respond to that question. But very interesting as far in the realm of quitting and did we really get the best from the Packers. A lot to think about there. I want to remind you, Ira, that you can still go to Big Storm Brewing Clearwater, the fantastic tap room on 49th Street, even if there's no Bucks game. You can still have dinner there. You can still feast like a pig. And Sunday night, they change the game. No problem. You can still watch football all day there. Florida's best craft beer on tap. And, of course, they have their Odessa location. But we will be there Sunday. Timeout. Got to call a timeout, an important timeout here on the podcast. This is where Ira and I were going to tell you all about how Sunday night we were going to have our big watch party for the Raiders and Bucks at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater and Florida's Elite Restoration, the Bay Area's best restoration company, was going to be buying you a free beer. And we had all the details laid out, but with the game being moved to 4:00 and it possibly getting changed again on Monday or Tuesday, it's just getting too messy and we want to do it right. So that's canceled. The free beer is canceled for Sunday. But we've rescheduled it for December 20th, Bucks at Atlanta Falcons at our watch party at Big Storm Brewing Company in Clearwater. Thank you to the great folks at Florida's Elite Restoration. They are Tampa Bay's number one mold remediation specialist. They cover the greater Bay Area and beyond, and they handle all types of home disasters. You want to call them first if you have a problem. They'll respond within a couple of hours. Call them 24/7. And you'll get a free estimate of what's happening. Plumbing contractors, property managers, air conditioning companies, they work with some of the best of them to assist customers, and they'll help you directly as well. Find out all about them at floridaselite.com. But they're great friends of ours, great company. Ira told you about how one of his friends used them just recently in the last podcast. And they're going to be buying fans beers. It's just going to be December 20th. So let's get back to Ira and the rest of this fantastic podcast.
You know, Steve, we also might have a couple of neat giveaways.
We do.
We might.
We do.
But you never know.
It's not might, Ira. We've got them. You're bringing them because they're at your house. I've actually got two more giveaways. So we've got four giveaways, including a jersey. All the giveaways will be given away at halftime. Hey, we hand out some raffle tickets, call the numbers, fun stuff. So very excited for our watch event.
Hey, gentlemen, what's going on with this? People are they're all over this Todd Bowles bandwagon. I know you guys have written a couple of stories like, hey, you know, pump your brakes a little bit about this get back in the head coaching circle. Let me throw this out there, guys, and tell me if I'm off base here. But the fact that Todd Bowles is proving again, guys, that he's a fantastic defensive coordinator does not in and of itself, in my mind, make him a tremendous candidate to be a head coach. I mean, am I missing something? He had 4 years with the Jets. Now, granted, that is a very difficult situation. It is. But the final 3 years were really bad, and he got bounced. And it's not like 5 years have passed and, you know, it's time to give him another chance. He just got fired, basically, a couple of years ago. So the fact that he's doing a marvelous job with the Buck defense, guys, it doesn't make him necessarily head coach material so quickly again in my eyes. Where am I wrong here, Lee?
Well, from what I gather from quote-unquote NFL sources. Now, I had a guy about 6 weeks ago. He works, he's a suit in the NFL. And we were talking about this very subject. And obviously, this is well before the bandwagon started. And basically, he told me that Mike Maccagnan is thought in the NFL to be a complete idiot. That you could pull anybody off the street, he could have done just as good a job as Mike Maccagnan. And that Bowles, as a result, was handcuffed. And Michael Lombardi's podcast Monday, he admitted it was a rant. He went on a passionate defense about Todd Bowles. I guess him and Belichick are in the Parcells family, so that's why he's sticking up for him. To enjoy it fully, you have to listen to it. He went on a passionate rant about Bowles, and he had the line of all lines, I thought. First off, he said Bowles was ripped off by the Jets. That's the exact quote, ripped off. And he referred to Mike Maccagnan as for people who don't know, he's the former general manager of the Jets, and he's largely responsible for the circus that the Jets have truly become. Lombardi said about Mike Maccagnan, he went to the Charlie Casserly School of Football, and I'm not exactly sure what school that is.
Boy. So, Steve, are we saying that if you fail with the Jets as a head coach, you get a do-over, it's an asterisk situation? Steve, is that what it's come down to?
Ira, are you ready for me to rant on this topic?
Yeah, you're setting up Steve for a beautiful rant here.
Come on, Stevie, bring it on, baby.
Because this is very deep in my craw, and I'm gonna bring it up with
a craw.
I'm gonna bring it up with a hypothetical. Okay, another guy got fired the same time. A great coordinator got fired the same time that Todd Bowles did. His name was Dirk Cutter. He had a good opening season, just like Todd Bowles did. Cutter went 9-7. Bowles went 10-6. Yep. And Bowles then had three garbage years. His team quit on him. And Cutter had two garbage years. Now, you could make the same argument. I'm sorry, Mr. Light. You could make the same argument that at the end of 2018, Jason Light was every bit as incompetent as Mike Maccagnan. Now, if Dirk Cutter has a great success this year with the Falcons and develops that young offensive line and his offense is rolling, are we going to hear his name again as a coach? No.
Absolutely not.
Because he was an abject failure with the Bucs. And that's what Todd Bowles was in New York. His team quit. His defense got worse every year. He has no coaching tree from his time there. And the guy was not good with the media. And I don't see him as head coach material whatsoever. And if Bruce Arians leaves this team, assistant coaches, older veteran assistants are going to leave with him, I'm sure, and probably just retire. And yeah. I have no faith in Todd Bowles hiring an offensive staff. Chan Gailey quit on Todd Bowles after 1 year, and then the offense fell apart. The guy has no resume, in my mind, to be a head coach. I want what's best for the Bucs, and the next head coach of this team needs to be able to develop and choose a quarterback, and I have no faith in Bowles doing that.
That's a very well thought out essay, Mr. Isbitz.
Told you, Ira.
And what I said doesn't contradict what Steve just said. Some guys are just, you know, cut out to be coordinators. Rod Marinelli comes to mind. Great D-line coach, did a good job as the coordinator in Dallas. You can see what's happened to the Cowboy defense since he left. I'm not putting that all on Marinelli, but his absence is certainly being felt. Dirk Cutter's a good offensive coordinator, Lee. He's darn good at it. There's nothing wrong with Atlanta's offense. Not really. You know, they don't. They haven't had a big time running back in a few years, and they score points. But that doesn't mean I want him to lead my team. And I don't know. I kind of feel the same way about Todd Bowles. He does a marvelous job. And Lee, to Steve's previous point about the Packers having no answers for the blitz and whatever, I think that goes to how well Bowles can disguise things. It's all about disguise. Derek Brooks says that to me every week, Lee. It's all about disguising so the offense and the quarterback doesn't know who's coming and when they're coming, and then you shift into a different, you know, different alignment that they're expecting. So you got the element of surprise, and that's what happened at Ray J. And so we're all kind of in agreement, Lee. We don't see this Bowles bandwagon, you know. I really can't see it, but it's out there, Lee. It's out there.
Lombardi, he had a couple other things that kind of, you know, opened up my eyes. And I think, and Dan Pompey, who I've known Pompey for the longest time.
He's one of the best. He's one of the best.
One of the best people, much less writers. Great writer, too. Wonderful person. Anyway, he had a big profile on Bowles.
Yeah, he did. Yes, he did.
It's really good. And, you know, blame me. I didn't do the research. I had no idea Bowles was a Parcells guy. I also did not know he was a scout with Ron Wolf and the Packers. And there's a lot of guys that worked for Ron Wolf that wound up being decent general managers, if not excellent general managers.
Right.
And Lombardi didn't make this point, but he made a point about, hey, you know, he's a good scout, too. And I thought, well, you know, that's something over Cutter. And like Steve's saying, I thought of Cutter, too, as a, you know, a coordinator that didn't hack it as a coach. And wasn't Bowles the guy that discovered, so to speak, Shaq Barrett?
I absolutely believe that. I absolutely believe that.
So absolutely, you know, this guy may have an acumen that is worthwhile as a head coach or beneficial. I know. I just thought Lombardi had a very compelling take that McCagnan is a fool, and look at the Jets. And you could also argue, look at the tailspin the Jets are in since Bowles left.
I know
Steve knows a lot about Bowles and the Jets, but.
I understand that, but Steve, why can't we just say that one of the best moves that Bruce Arians ever made, and maybe the best besides enticing Tom Brady to Tampa, is getting Todd Bowles to come as defensive coordinator? Why can't we just leave it at that? He's doing a heck of a job. He's developing young players, and Lee and I have been screaming, all three of us, that the Bucs don't develop their young players, and you know what? That seems to be a thing of the past. They are developing these players. Godwin's getting better every year. Ronald Jones, better every year. Look at the defense, the cornerbacks. Devin White's gotten better. So let's leave it the way it is, Steve. Why do we have to anoint him the next great head coach? I don't understand it.
I get it, because Arians is 68 years old and people are thinking about what's next for Todd Bowles. And, of course, around the league, you know, the hot seat chatter comes up every single year, and he's a name. But he wasn't a name last year, and he wasn't a name in 2019, which should tell you something. But, you know, the Shaq Barrett thing, that's a tough call. Ira, I know you say he's a Bowles guy. I believe there was a link between Jason Light's a right-hand guy whose name escapes me right
now.
Spike,
John Spytek.
He came from the Broncos, right?
Yeah, Spytek came from the Broncos. Yeah. And Bowles was also the guy that ran Shaq out there for the fourth preseason game last year and, you know, didn't think he was too much. So, I you know, there's that. But I am not against Bowles. You're right, Ira. The player development has been fantastic, and they're number one right now. Let's see if it sticks. Let's see how he can adjust through the season. And I'm sure he will be. He should at least get interviews. And I just think that if the Bucs are ever in a situation where Arian steps down, there should be a serious interview process. I wouldn't just hand anything to Todd Bowles. And frankly, I don't think the Glazers would think he's sort of has the personality that they like as far as the outgoing nature of it all. But
Steve, you made a great point. And Lee, I think it's the dominant point about the post Arians era is the guy's got to be able to develop a quarterback. And Bowles doesn't really fit that, you know, description necessarily. So that's going to be, you know, that's going to be the big question in Tampa.
Who that's replaces, a great point, Ira, because that's the Glazers love a quarterback. You're right.
Who's going to replace Brady, and who's going to be able to develop that guy? And that's going to be the question going forward, but it's not the question right now. So they got a good thing going. And guys, you know what I also love is that the Bucs are being dynamic. If there's a guy that they can pluck, and let's face it, everybody's looking at the Jets right now. There's a fire sale going on, as there should be. And they're looking at the Jets. Hey, they got anybody that can help us? Is there anybody that can, you know, give me a little upgrade, maybe on depth? And the Bucs strike. The Bucs strike, and I'm not saying this guy's Aaron Donald, but, you know, suppose Sue goes down for 3 weeks at this point. You know, you might need some help. So I applaud, like, the sense of purpose, the sense of urgency. You know, Arians is driving it. Light's getting it done. And for Buck fans, it's nirvana right now, guys.
Yeah. And you know what? And since we're talking about coordinators, I'm going to throw this out there real quick. Recent history is not shining a good light on Dirk Cutter. And I like Dirk. He's always good to me. We've seen what, you know, Ronald Jones has had an epiphany. And good for Rojo. You know, everybody gets on me because I was harsh on him. I was harsh on him because he didn't produce. It's that simple. Now he's producing, and I'm glad for it. I'm hearing stories how he worked his tail off. He was very receptive to new coaching, and it took him a while, but he turned himself around, and good for Rojo, and that's great for the Bucks. And when it's good for the Bucks, Steve will agree, it's good for our bottom line.
Yes.
So I always want the Bucks to do well. And at any rate, I was watching Tennessee the other night, and I see McPlaybook come off the bench and make a few catches. What's going on here? And then I remember how Devontae Freeman, his only bad year in the NFL until he got too old, was his rookie year with Cutter. And I texted someone with the Bucks, and I said, this is not a good look for Dirk Cutter. I like Dirk. I said, don't get the wrong impression here. I'm not crapping on Dirk Cutter, but this is not a good look for him. All of a sudden, Ronald Jones is doing well, and he gave up on Ronald Jones. I think we could all admit that, honestly. Obviously, McPlaybook didn't work out here. Who was the coach? Cutter. Who was the offensive coordinator? Cutter. And then up in Atlanta, when Cutter first had Freeman. Freeman didn't do a damn thing his rookie year. Well, I wouldn't say that, but he was less effective his rookie year than he was after that. Dirk Cutter had a pattern that he didn't develop running backs. Boy, it really sticks out like a sore thumb now. And I got to be honest with you, after next year, I don't expect Raheem to get the job in Atlanta unless he does go 11-0.
Right, right.
I don't know if Dirk's going to get a job. I really don't, because, you know, whoever's going to hire him, I would think, would want to have something of a running game. And that would, I guess, in an interview, that's going to come up for Dirk. How come you can't develop a running back?
Yeah, I hear you, Lee. I can't go that crazy with Cutter that he wouldn't get a job just because there are so many poor offensive coordinators out there that at least he's had consistent success. You know, he knows how to put together a passing game. And I think some people might say, hey, look what he did with Jameis, because they think Jameis is a complete screw-up. So that might help him a little bit. But I totally hear what you're saying.
You know, I still can't believe that line from Arthur Blank. I mean, he's got to regret that statement. That was horrible, where somebody said, you know, Arthur,
tongue-in-cheek, Ira, tongue-in-cheek.
I don't know that, Steve. The line in question is, well, if he goes 11-0, certainly he's a candidate. If I'm Raheem Morris, that's a tough line to hit the stomach.
Ira, you're still bitter that he called you Irv. You're still bitter at him because he calls you Irv.
Let's turn our attention to Allegiant Stadium, where Mr. DeKemper and I had planned to visit October 25th, but under the circumstances, it's a COVID year. You know, somebody said that on TV the other day, and it's really the right way to say it. It's a COVID year, and that's just the way it is. Just ask John Gruden about it. Now, luckily, the Bucks haven't had to deal with it. Fortunate. I think it attests to the diligence, and I give Arians a lot of credit for that, because I think he's been harping on it all the time, as he should. Don't screw up, don't let your guard down, but there's a little bit of good fortune involved, too. You could have your guard up, and then all of a sudden, you know, you can still get it, and thankfully, it hasn't been an issue here at One Buck Place.
You know, and I was like everybody else when the Titans came down with it. It seemed like the virus came in from a front office personnel person, not so much a player, but we don't know that. But that's what it seemed like, the way they were the reports were. And you're right, a lot of good fortune. But, you know, I hear a lot of things that happen with Nick Saban, for example, and I guess they're hoping it happens with Trent Brown, and we'll know a little bit later what's what. You know, they're hoping it's a false positive.
Right.
You know, I thought of this a couple of days ago, and this might be, speaking of good fortune, or in this case, bad fortune, I've never heard of this term, and I can only assume that this can happen just as easily as a false positive. What about a false negative? If you can have a false positive, couldn't you have a false negative?
Of course.
And that would be the a huge problem. Someone gets past all the tests, and they have the virus, but they don't know it. I mean, you could have a bloom like you wouldn't believe.
No question about it. And Dave, we turn our attention to Chucky's boys and,
Ira, I drive the bus here. You can't turn your attention yet. We have some important things here to mention.
Now, Steve, continue, Steve. As our fine moderator, you deserve to continue.
Sage, I know you have people all over your house there. Cosmo's going wild. We've heard the fans here don't get to hear what's going on. Ira, I wanted to bring up, though, you mentioned the new guy, Steve McClendon from the Jets, the defensive tackle. He should be ready to go. I just want to put it out there that Jeremiah Ledbetter, off the practice squad, played 38% of the snaps against the Packers, and that's your biggest reason why McClendon is in there. They don't want to risk it, and I think he's going to play quite a bit. So something to look for in that Raiders game. Sage, Ali Marpet restructured his contract. Bucks added $4 million as a result, $4.5 million, I think, to the 2020 salary cap. Gives them a little flexibility before the trade deadline. If you can think of an angle here of where the Bucks might go or look for a trade, I know last-minute injuries usually drive those things, but what do you think they might have up their sleeve, or what do you think they might be looking to bolster?
I'm so glad you didn't mention the name that you should not mention. His initials are AB, and he's probably going to be signed by somebody by the end of this week.
Seahawks.
Let's hope it's not here. Can you imagine? And the guy was pissed off in Pittsburgh when Schuster was getting some balls that he thought should have been his. And I believe he scored 15 touchdowns that year, Brown. 15, which might be his career high. And he was still pissed off because Schuster was caught, ended up catching more balls than he did that year. And now, can you imagine him playing behind Evans and a healthy Godwin? I don't even want to think about it. And I don't really believe that Brady is pounding the table for Brown. But if he is, this is where the Bucs have to say, no, Tom, no, no. You're paid to quarterback this team, and we're going to pick the personnel. Sorry. But other than that, Steve, I like the fact that the Bucs have flexibility. People are going to go down. They need the financial wherewithal to add people without cutting people. So, restructure is the way to go. Marpet, a team guy, first and foremost. We all know that. Great family, and they probably, backed them up and said, do what you got to do to help this team, get to Tampa in February. And by the way, whether it's February 7th or March 7th, Lee, it might be March 7th. Don't circle that February 7th in stone. I've said on this show that Tampa Bay will be very, very flexible in terms of that Super Bowl date, and there's nothing that's happened since I said it to change my mind. We're not going to lose this game, guys. Come hell or high water, we're not going to lose Super Bowl 55. We'll do whatever it takes, twisting arms at hotels or whatever. But, Steve, I love what the Bucks are doing. The front office, we've been critical about Light in the past. When he does well, we got to salute the man. And he's been a big part of this renaissance. He's played a critical role. And they're well positioned, Steve. They're well positioned. I think they're going to win this division. Never mind sneak into as an NFC wild card. I think they're going to win a division. I don't think the Saints are as good as I thought they were at the beginning of the year. Breeze, I believe, has shown more than Brady that he slipped. I think he's shown that more than Brady has. So we shall see, gentlemen. But having financial flexibility, Lee, that's a damn good thing going forward.
Oh, sure. And I was always told that teams want to set aside $2 million for injuries. And because, guys coming off the street generally aren't going to be expensive.
Right.
So when Light shaved $4 million off the salary cap just by reworking Marpet's contract, immediately I thought he's setting himself up for a trade. And what that is, I don't know. I don't know if it's another tackle. I mean, for example, McClendon, it's only $800,000 in salaries. So that's like a drop in a bucket in theory for an NFL player. For me, it's a little bit different. But
you know, you're right, Lee. And Steve, what does it say about the 2020 Buccaneers when we look at the current roster and we say, geez, do they have a yawning need for another player? Certainly not a starter. Maybe a little linebacker depth, Steve, if White or Lavonnie David go down, and you got Kevin Minter. But, Steve, they don't have any yawning gaps, and that, more than anything else, tells you all you need to know about how far this franchise has come.
Whitehead, maybe? I mean, I'm a fan of his hitting, but apparently his pass coverage skills are something to be desired.
I think he needs to work on it. There's no question about it. He can hit you. But, I don't think he's very adept at coverage right now.
Well, Sage, two things. One, as the season moves along, guys get cheaper because a $10 million salary all of a sudden is divided in half because there's only half a season left. So bigger name guys become more affordable at the trade deadline. Clay Matthews is still hanging out there. We've talked about him as a possibility. And if nobody wants to give him cash and he's willing to sit on the bench with the Bucks and work his way in and maybe be a depth piece, that could be interesting. They're obviously all in. And what makes it even more interesting is that we know that Ali Marpet isn't giving back the money. It's just getting spread over more years. And meanwhile, now some of that money that's being spread out goes to next year when the cap is going to be a challenge for every single team. So the Bucks are really going even more all in. And of course, if they don't use the money from Marpet, they can roll that salary cap room to next year. But I would think they're going to do something. It would be a shame to leave that money on the side, but they got to pick the right guy.
Yeah, people get hung up on the Bucks being pressing their nose against the salary cap. We've said it before on the show, and it's really true. There's a lot of ways around that stuff. Don't believe everything you read about you got no money to spend. There's ways. If you want to spend, there's ways. And restructure is the way to go. And other teams do it all the time, and the Bucks have jumped on board, and that's a very good thing.
New Orleans and Seattle always seem to find a way around.
Yeah.
Always.
Sage, as we heard in the opening, Bill Curry Ford presents the podcast. Bill Curry Ford, general manager Sean Sullivan, Bucks fan extraordinaire, is ready to serve Buccaneers fans or anybody in any way that he can. And it's real, and it's just ready for you. And it's right there at BillCurryFord.com. And you can text Sean. You can email Sean, go to BillCurryFord.com, look at the staff, his information, and his smiling picture is right there. Great end of month offers right now. October deals are flowing, all transparent pricing at BillCurryFord.com. Sage, I wanted to bring this up because you said you think the Bucks are going to win the division. That's a strong statement. Monday night's game is a big one. Bears-Rams on Monday Night Football. That's a huge game with implications for the Bucks. And then the following week, the Bears are home for the Saints. That's an even bigger game when you look at tiebreakers. And, of course, you know the Bucks are playing the NFC North just like the Saints are, and we lost to the Bears. And then the Bears come back, and they go to the Titans. So the Bears could be looking at three losses in a row, and the Bucks want to get ahead of them in tiebreakers. But the Bears-Saints game is key. There's a lot's going to happen here in the next few weeks.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that, Steve, because I was thinking about that going into the Green Bay game, which was a late game, and especially, you know, the idea of the Bucks being 3-3 after last Sunday, I think it would have left them very vulnerable. Of course, it would have hurt them in the division fight against New Orleans. That goes without saying. And from a wild card perspective, Steve, the point you're making is, you got these teams that nobody saw coming, like Chicago, and the Bears would be well ahead of the Bucks, well ahead if Tampa was 3-3, and they beat Tampa. So they got the tie-break advantage, and you got a team like the Rams, who nobody paid much attention to in the NFC West behind Seattle and San Francisco, the defending NFC champions. And the Rams have gotten off to a good start this year. Again, another factor in the NFC wildcard chase. So in that respect, Steve, the Green Bay game was huge. 4-2 looks a heck of a lot better than 3-3. Yeah, you know, the Bucks could have squeezed in maybe as that seventh team, but who wants to do that? You know, that goes down to the final game of the year, and you got to win, and I just think this 4-2 with the schedule toughening up for the Bucks, no question about it, and some quality opponents other than the New York Giants. But this is a very, very tough stretch. And that is why I thought the Green Bay game was so critical. Being 4-2, it lets you feel a little bit better about yourself, Lee. And at 3-3, you're quite vulnerable. I think we'd be having a very different conversation about the Bucks right now if they were 3-3.
You know, I got to confess, if the Bucks would have lost to the Packers, I was smelling a spiral, circling the drain.
Yeah, you said that last week. Yep,
yeah,
you said
it. Really was. I thought this season was going to go downhill fast if they got beat by the Packers. And thank goodness that didn't happen. And it seems like everybody, including the Bucks themselves, are buoyed by their performance. And hopefully that's a springboard to bigger and better things.
Ira, quick question before we get to our picks. And a quick reminder that Florida's EliteRestoration.com, that's your website, 24/7. Put it in your favorites, bookmark it. If you ever have a problem, as soon as you see water or mold in your home, that's who you call, and they'll give you a free assessment, free look at everything with their thermal imaging cameras and their specialties, their licensed mold remediation specialists, and that's who you want to contact for any disaster. Sage, with this COVID stuff, I got to ask you. John Gruden lost a full day of practice in pads yesterday for his offense. The offensive line was sent home. They got all the slappies out there trying to simulate blocking the Bucks' run defense. You know he's pissed off. And is is he and the Mark Davis, are they going to do everything they can to get this game canceled, even if they have to fudge some results so they can push it to the NFL's eventual Week 18 and not have to go into this game either shorthanded or underprepared?
Interesting way to look at it, Steve. They might try. Ultimately, the decision is the guys on Park Avenue. And I think unless they're absolutely feel unequivocally that they don't have any choice in the matter, they want this game to be played as scheduled. So I think it's going to be an uphill battle for Chucky and the guys. Now, look, if more players come down with COVID, I think the league would feel that it's a competitive imbalance to play the game Sunday night. And the game would be postponed, and who knows when the heck it would get played because the Raiders have already had their bye week. But if it's just Trent Brown, I think Chucky's going to have to live with it. He won't like it, but he's going to have to live with it. And by the way, I believe he's playing right tackle. That could open things up for Shaq Barrett a little bit, perhaps. But the Raiders love to run the ball with Jacobs. He's averaging 21 carries a game. That's a big, big number. Second in the league to only Derrick Henry. They're a running team, but guys, we said it before, nobody runs on this football team with Vita Vea, without Vita Vea. You don't run on the Bucks, and Trent Brown's not going to help Chucky in that regard because Brown's not going to play. Brown's not going to play, I wouldn't think, under the best of circumstances. So my guess is this game gets played as scheduled. Let's see what happens.
Well, you're talking about, you know, the run game, and the Bucks just got McClendon from the Jets. Well, the Jets just played in Miami. Did they just leave him on the side of the road for the Bucks to, you know, send a driver to pick him up or something?
You're going to see plenty of McClendon. I think Steve's right. During the rest of this season, he's going to play a lot, I believe.
Well, he's a starter with the Jets, and I know it's the Jets, but, you know, he's supposed to be really good against the runs. So.
I think Bowles will have confidence in him. Yeah.
Who wants to fire off the pick here first? Who wants to go first?
I'll go first, gentlemen, because I'm on a two-game skid, and I don't like it. I burst out of the turnstiles at 4-0, gentlemen. I was feeling my oats. Oh, I know this football team better than anybody. And then Chicago happened. And then I bought into the Packers hype, and I thought the Bucks would have their daubers down after a tough loss in the Windy City. And instead, they go down 10-0 and then play the three quarters of their lives over there. So here they go to the Raiders. Guys, bye week for the Raiders. That's an advantage for Chucky. Coming off big win against the Chiefs. I believe that game was an Arrowhead where they don't lose in the regular season. Huge win for the Raiders. But I'm sorry, Raiders. You're playing the Bucks, and the Bucks got their confidence back last week against a quality team. I think they match up well against the Raiders. Devin White thinks they match up fantastic. I tend to agree. They love to go to this guy Waller. He's one of the better tight ends in football. He's not Kelsey. He's not Kittle. But he's damn good. And unlike other years, guys, tight ends are not hurting the Bucs. Lavonte David sticking with these guys like glue. They got Antoine Winfield. Bucs are going to win this game, gentlemen. And they're going to win it 30-20.
I say Bucs win 23-17. Even though Sean Sullivan, general manager at Bill Curry Ford's favorite player, Henry Ruggs, scores an 80-yard touchdown.
And that's going to make Sullivan feel good right there. Stevie, what do you got? Ruggs. What do you got, Stevie?
Well, Sage, this is a tough one for me. It really is a tough one. While I was watching the Packers game and when I rewatched the Packers game, I watched that first quarter and I couldn't do anything other than visualize Chucky sitting in a room somewhere just drooling at the Buccaneers defense getting carved up for an entire quarter, including a big run up the gut without Vita Vea in there. They got a 25-yard run and everything on the Bucs. And I think Chucky is smart enough to figure out why that happened. Now, I know Bruce Arians just said they came out flat, but I think it's a little bit more than that. There's always some answers in the film. I'm going to play the contrarian here, Ira, because even though I would normally want to wait until this COVID stuff plays out, but I'm going to pretend that the Raiders are healthy and that the game goes on. I don't know yet. I got to see it that the Bucs can play well on the road, and I think it's going to be a bit of a shootout. I think Ruggs is going to cause some problems. The guy's averaging 30 yards a catch, and the Bucs might be a little bit vulnerable when it comes to speed deep. And Carr has got to be all-time high confidence, three-time Pro Bowler. He's completing 73% of his passes. I'm going to go. I'm going to dare to go. Raiders 31, Bucs 30.
Well, Steve, you are leading the pack. I think you're 5-1 in picking Buck games. Steve, am I wrong? So you got to get the benefit of the doubt here, and you make a compelling case, but I'm not changing my pick, and neither is the Kemper. We're sticking with the visitors, guys.
Well, of course, I'm not trying
to get a
better
pick. Actually,
you're changing your pick, Lee.
Well, I don't think it's a bad pick to select Bramosa at Big Storm Brewing.
I like Kolsch, baby, Kolsch.
Oh, there you go, Ira. I issued a correction. They do just call it Kolsch. Big Storm Kolsch. So you were correct. There's no special name. Lee was correct. It is a style of beer that we're not all familiar with, and you can see it at bigstormbrewery.com. And it's not as exciting.
It goes down very well, Steve. It goes down very well.
One of the other more exciting styles that we're familiar with is the 2020 Ford Escape, Lap of Luxury Cherry Red, that you drive around town with.
I've had it almost a year, Steve. Almost a year, and I can't thank you enough for getting me involved with Bill Curry Ford, and it's been a great relationship.
Oh, I thought you were going to thank me and Lee for buying you a car, but I guess
you're never going to get that out of me, Steve. No, never, never, never.
All right. Well, when we take it away, you won't be too happy. Anyway, I hope the Bucs win. I'm just looking at it. I hope they prove me wrong that they're road ready, and that'll just take them all the way through the season as a big-time hot team. So, Sage, I got to ask you this before we head on out of town. Team Glazer and Chucky, that relationship, you've spent time with John Gruden. You've talked about it on the podcast at, I believe it was, the Florida Sports Hall of Fame. You've been to his office. You've been in touch with him on and off since he left the Buccaneers. And he even texted you some fun emojis yesterday, you were telling us, off the podcast airwaves. And what does this game mean to the Glazers as far as, do they have the competitive spirit to want to stick it to Gruden? What is the feeling from their end? And, of course, we know Chucky wants to win at all costs.
Well, I was on a conference call with Gruden on Wednesday, and the question was posed to him, is this just another game on the schedule for your Raiders, or does it have a little bit more personal meaning? And, of course, guys, we could have predicted what his answer is going to be. That's in the past. What happened in Tampa? I had some great times in Tampa. No regrets, no feelings about it. Oh, a bunch of hogwash, guys, hogwash. 12 years have passed since he got his walking papers. when he got his walking papers, it was stunning. He didn't see it coming. Buck Nation didn't see it coming. He had just gone 9-7 two straight years. Now, albeit there was a collapse at the end of 08, but he went 9-7. And the year before, they won the division. So those bitter feelings remain no matter what he says. And he would love to stick it to the Glazers, who you would assume will be on hand in Vegas. As Joel Glazer likes to tell me, we never miss a game. Home or away, we never miss a game. You know, if Brian and Joel and, you know, Ed makes the trip up from his L.A. home, you know, they're all going to be there rooting against Gruden like crazy with good reason. And believe me, the feelings run high on both sides of this equation, no matter what the participants say.
Oh, shoot, Gruden, that fired football coach's shtick of his, that was a weekly, finger to the Glazers. I mean, and that drove me crazy. Like, calm down.
FFCA. That's right.
I mean, that drove me nuts. I mean, Tom Landry got fired. Paul Brown got fired. Bill Parcells got fired. Bill Belichick got fired. Give me a break. Chill out.
Absolutely.
All right. To get us out of here, Ira, we'll go rapid fire. I will go Lee, and then me, and then you, and then I will hit the off button, and we will prepare to see you stuff your face at Big Storm Clearwater, our watch party on Sunday. The Sage is planning on rolling in about 2 p.m. That means the ribs and the brisket and the bromosa or the kolsch will be in front of him by 2:16 at the very latest. And we're excited for a fun day. Come on out, Bucks fans. Watch with Ira. And we've got giveaways at halftime. Lee, give us one key or one special happening or one big thing you're looking for, however you want to phrase it, from the Buccaneers specifically in this Raiders game.
Stopping the run. Jacobs. He's damn good. And I know the Bucks have shut down other runners before. They shut down a runner last week. They continue that, they should be okay.
All right, Ira, I'm going to go with the revival of the duo, not just a one-sided thing, but a true tandem effort from Evans and Godwin, with both of them being healthier and Godwin having even more rust off. The Raiders can't seem to stop anybody, and I think that if the Bucs are going to win, both of them are going to have 100-plus days and really be all over the field, inside, outside, all over.
All right, and I'm going to look at the horses up front. For the Buccaneers, the Raiders have a D lineman named Max Crosby. The guy's good. I believe he's an end. He's good. But if you can handle him and neutralize him, I believe Brady can do a lot of damage against the rest of the Raiders. So if the pass protection's as good as it was against the Packers, Bucks are going to win this game.